My name is Peter. I'm sorry we don't have a sermon bumper, but I could like dance to like transition or something. I don't know. You guys doing good? Yeah, that's good. Awesome. Well, I know Canada lost today. So some of us need to hear this message. But Spain and Germany are playing. So if you're watching the game, just kind of give me a sign when someone scores. I want to know. I can't have my phone up here, otherwise I'll stream the game. Anyways, like I mentioned, my name is Peter, and I work here on staff. I've been here for a while, and I'm excited to share this message with you guys today. I'm kind of nervous, because it's such a heavy topic, but I'm just praying that God would do what he does best. And so for the next 2 hours and 35 minutes, some of you guys think I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I actually grew up in church services that went so long that you had to take a second nap. Like, you know, one of those services? It was so long that, like, the moms were getting the snacks out and, like, passing them down the aisle. Like, it's like, so, but yeah, I'm a pastor's kid. My dad was a pastor back in Africa, and he used to pastor this one church. It's kind of a small church. And so being a pastor's kid, there's perks to that, right? It's like you don't have to go to Sunday school every single Sunday. You can be like, hey, our parents want us to sit with them. And they were like, okay, sounds good. And so I remember having these two friends, and those three of us, and one time we decided we're going to skip Sunday school. And we're like, you know what? Let's just go tell the teacher we don't want to go. So we told her, hey, we can't go today. Our parents want us to sit in the service. And like, okay, sounds good. So we left. And instead of going into the service, we just went for a tour around the church. We're just kind of like, let's just go hang out, whatever it is. So we're walking, hanging out. And then I remember this, because this is like, it's just a weird memory. You know, one of those weird memories that you get stuck in your head? I remember there used to be an ice cream shop beside the church. And it was like one of those really good ice cream shops where like the ice cream looks so delicious. Like it was kind of like a cartoon where like the ice cream would look so desirable. And I remember we'd all stare at it. But like our parents weren't like those kind of parents that like after church they'll take us to the ice cream. Like they're like, we have food at home, you know, like that kind of vibe. And so we would see these kids having ice cream. Like, man, it'd be so nice to have ice cream like that. And so we're like, oh, man, that'd be good. But then we walk down. We're, like, walking to church. And our friend, I won't say his name, but he's a cousin. that narrows it down for some people. He looks in the church, and he's like, hey, I know where they keep the offering. And I remember being like, what? Where is this going? You're taking us on the tour? So we go, we see the offering, we're like, wow, that's so cool. And he's like, they haven't counted it because the service isn't over, so we can take it and go get ice cream. And we're like, what is happening? Should we actually go in the service? Because this is getting weird. And he's like, do you want the ice cream or not? And it's like ice cream, honoring God, ice cream, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, so we stole the money from the offering bucket. We go to the ice cream place, and we eat ice cream. And it was, I'm not gonna lie, it was really good ice cream. Like I was like, we should do this every Sunday or something. Just put like an ice cream budget or something. Later that night, we used to do this thing like family prayer where we would just kind of like, our mom would get us together at 8 p.m. Like it was really long. And she would read us a Bible story. We would talk about it and then we would pray. So I knew if I make it past that, I'm done. I'm free. You know what I mean? It was like, if I make it past the prayer, then this is behind us, and I'm never going to have to confess to anyone. And so we pray, and I forget what the story was, but knowing, like, my mom and the Holy Spirit, like, it was probably something to do with conviction and sin, you know? And so we pray, and then after she starts praying, and she's like, okay. And then she's one of those people where she feels like God's, like, speaking to them about something. So during prayer, she's like, I feel like someone in this room needs to confess about something. And so I'm, like, looking down, I'm like, So then I close my eyes, I hold out, and luckily one of my siblings says something stupid, like, I don't know, like, I did this or whatever, and we're like, oh, let's pray for them. Like, they got issues every week. So we pray for them. And then we start praying, and my mom's like, I just feel like there's something else. And I'm like, oh, gosh. So then in tears, I'm like, Mom, this is what happened. Like, it wasn't my fault. It was our cousin. You know what you all say about him? Like, he just, and I just confessed. And my mom was just so heartbroken. She's like, Peter, not you. Not from the offering. Like, not like this. And she's like, wait until your dad gets home. Some of you guys already know what that means, eh? Okay, before I tell you what happens, I just want to preface. In Africa, in my culture, being beat up wasn't like a sign of abuse, okay? I just wanna, some of you guys might have to call my dad. When we got beat, it was more of a disciplinary way, okay? Like, you did something wrong, this is what you've earned. So it's like some of you guys got time out or you got to go talk to the wall. Like, that's nice. We got like, anyways, so I know I should probably start preaching at some point here. So anyways, my dad comes home and I'm in the room, like I'm like walking down pacing. I'm like, Lord, you said you forgive. What is this? I don't get it. Like, touch his heart or something. My dad comes home and I hear from the other room, from the Lord's house? And I'm like, oh, it's getting worse. He's like, Pita. And I'm like, oh. So then I came and all I heard was, get in the shower. And this is one of the worst beatings you get. So there's levels to beatings, right? So it's like, so if you did something bad, like they get a belt, right? It's like, you wear extra pants and you just like, you pretend like you're hurting. You're like, I'm never gonna do it again. And then mom's like, okay, I forgive you. And then there's like the stick, right? You know that one? That's worse. But then there's a cable. You guys ever got, some of you guys are nodding, you know. So my dad waits until I get out of the shower and he just goes to, like, I'm like crying in tears. And then he sits down. They get me to pray and repent in front of my siblings. And then they get me to go back to the elders, give them money back and repent. And I just remember being so like angry. I remember being so angry at my friends. I'm like, why did I even listen to them? I remember being so angry at myself. I remember being angry at my mom, being like, why does she have to tell dad? I remember being angry at my dad, the pastors. I also remember being angry at God. I'm like, why did you have to expose me like that? It was just ice cream. And I feel like even though that's not like you guys' story, everyone in this room, we go from bitterness then to this unforgiveness where we just sort of forgive ourselves or what we've done. And the thing about unforgiveness is it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter how tall, short, wise, what skin color you are, how wise you are, your age. We all wrestle with unforgiveness. It's this big thing that's like holding us. And for some of us, it's actually stopping us from being fruitful in our lives. When Jesus talks about the fig tree that has so many leaves but no fruits, like that's a lot of Christians. It's like for some reason, the Christians have a hardest time to forgive. And so today, I want to give you my topic. It's forgiveness. And the subtitle is The Missing Ingredient. Look at the person beside you and be like, are you missing something? Are you missing something? Come on, don't be shy. We're all family. You can ask them. It's a joke. Okay, here's what we're going to do is I'm going to read a long passage of scripture. And if you know me, you know I don't like reading in front of people. So this is going to be rough, but we need to read it. And then we'll talk about it. We'll pray and we'll see what Jesus talks about forgiveness, okay? So let's do it. Verse 19 is on the screen. If you guys have your Bibles, it actually might help to open your Bibles up and underline this because this message may be a message that may just scratch something that God wants to do in your life and you can go later and actually dive deep into it, okay? So I may just have to like initiate it and some of you guys just have to take it deeper. And this is what it says. We'll start from verse 19, but I'll bring it in later. It says, I also tell you this. I guess I can read from the screen. Okay, so if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven would do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And then it goes on and says, then Peter came to him and asked, so he's asking Jesus, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Peter. Jesus replied, he says, 70 times seven. Any mathematicians or geniuses in here? What's 70 times seven? Anyone? 21? It's 490. I'm not good at math. I had a lot of time. Anyways, so Jesus goes on and says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decides to bring his account to date with servants who borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owned millions of dollars. He couldn't pay it, so his master order for him to be sold along with his wife, children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged, please be patient with me. I'll pay it all. Then his master, filled with pity for him, released him and forgave his debt. But it goes on and says this, but, everyone say but. That's always a funny place to pause. But when the man left the king, he went to his fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat, demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him, begging for a little more time. Be patient with me and I'll pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. And then, we're almost done. You guys ready? Some of you guys are. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the man he'd forgiven, and he said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants, just as I have mercy on you?" And then this is how Jesus ends this. Then the angry king sends a man to prison to be tortured until he paid his entire debt. And that's what my heavenly Father would do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. So that's a long passage of scripture, but let's just pray. Let's jump in. So everyone close your eyes. God, we just want to invite you in this moment. Would you please breathe on this message? Would you come speak to us, Lord? This is such a heavy topic. It's so close to a lot of our hearts. But I know there's nothing that can be hidden from you. So we just ask that you would just use this time to just like directly heal stuff that needs to be healed. And would you anoint me, God, to preach your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, here we go. Let's just jump into this. I just want to clarify this before I get started. Here are three things that forgiveness is not, okay? I just want to say this because I'm not going to take that angle. This sermon actually took me a long time to prepare. And so I just want to like, just because forgiveness is so deep. There's so many things to cover when it comes to forgiveness. And so I just want to share these three things that forgiveness is not, okay? So here's the first one. Forgiveness is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. And I know a lot of us, we think when you talk about forgiveness, like, oh, you asked me to be weak. You asked me to be, it's like, no, forgiveness is a sign of strength. And it takes a big person to forgive. And I'm not talking about big in size, because there's some people who are older and have a hard time forgiving. So forgiveness takes like a big person inside to forgive. It's a strong person's job to forgive. So forgiveness is not a weakness. The second thing is this, it's not a feeling. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of your will. So forgiveness is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. You choose to forgive someone, not because you like them, but because you like you. Okay, so forgiveness is not a feeling. And the last one is this, is forgiveness is not an excuse. Okay, you're not enabling that person. It's not asking you to trust that person. Forgiving someone does not mean that you're gonna earn them back. Like, here's the thing is, there's people in this room that you've been mistreated, you've been treated bad, you've been hurt. And when you forgive that person, it doesn't mean that you give them license to come back in your life the same way. It just means that you're letting them go in your heart. So I just want to clarify those three things. I'm not going to touch on that side of things today in this time, but if you want to talk more about it, we can study with it together. But I just want to clarify that. But let's just jump into verse 21, and this is what's happening. So this is the story that Jesus just shared with us, okay? So Peter comes up to him, and he says this. He said, Lord, how often should I forgive someone, okay? How often should I forgive someone? And this question that he's asking is a question that you and I have in this room, okay? How many times is too many times, okay? How often should I forgive someone that like continually hurts me? Because the Bible teaches this, that offense is gonna come. Like if you've been living longer than 3 minutes, you know that it's not easy to get offended. You're gonna be offended. Everyone's gonna offend you. Like that's not gonna change. Like I grew up in a household with 6 siblings. I was one of the 6, and they're over there. And we fought over food a lot. Like that's why when you sit across the table from me, what takes you 15 minutes to eat takes me 2 minutes. Just because if you ate slow, you didn't eat. So we all like eat really, really fast. And in our household specifically, my sisters would go to restaurants, and I don't get this. When they go to restaurants, they would bring leftovers. I'm like, just finish the food. Like, why do you need leftovers? So they'll bring the leftovers, and they put them in the fridge. And my brothers and I would wait until they're sleeping and go eat the leftovers. Anyone else? No? I'm the only one. Anyways. And so my sisters would always wake up every morning and be like, who ate my food? And they're like, I'm like trying to hide under my bed. I'm like, it was Isaac. It was David. Because just that's just how it is. Like, offense is not, like, you can't avoid it. It's just going to come. Some of you guys, it's that level. Some of you guys, it's just like your coworkers or whatever the case is. We're going to be offended. And so Peter's asking, like, hey, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? And it's like seven times? Seven times? Like, he's asking this question, trying to make himself sound better. You know what I mean? Like, you ever ask a question that makes you look good? You know, it's like, how often should I do this? Like, you know, because here's a cultural perspective. So seven times, there was a bunch of Jewish laws that were in place to kind of help people stay holy and righteous and that kind of stuff. And one of the laws was that you would forgive someone up to three times. What's that saying? Like, you know, fool me once, something, fool me twice. You guys know it. You guys probably know it better than me. So essentially the same thing. It's like, okay, like if you sin against someone, you can only forgive them up to three times. The fourth time, you don't have to forgive them. And so Peter, when he says seven times, he's actually trying to make himself sound better. It's like, Jesus, you're kind of a nice guy. The Jewish people are not very nice. So I'm going to say seven times. That makes me sound good. And Jesus is like, no, not seven times. 70 times seven, Peter. Like, that is a huge number. And before we even go even farther than that, this is like, it relates back to like what we've been talking about lately. You know how Pastor Dave talked about how there's always connections with the Old Testament. There's always different things. And this, what Jesus just said, 70 times seven, is actually a phrase in the Old Testament. It's a phrase that they use constantly, and it refers a lot to Cain and Abel. That's where it started from. You guys know the story, Cain and Abel? Some of you guys? One person, that's great. I feel like I'm just talking to myself. I'm just this is the fights that me and my friends have. It's like, I just feel like I'm just talking to myself and you're not even listening to me. And you guys hear? That's good. Yeah, okay, perfect. Help me out. I'm struggling. Okay, so this is what happened. So Cain and Abel are Adam and Eve's sons, right? And so you know the story. Abel is they go give an offering to God. So what does Abel do is he takes the best out of the things that God's blessed him with and he brings it to God. Whereas Cain brings the leftovers and he brings it to God, right? And so he brings to God and God accepts Abel's and denies Cain. And Cain is bitter. And he's bitter even to the point where I'll read this to you just to save time because I don't have it on the slide. In verse 4 of Genesis, Cain's bitter, and instead of being mad at himself, he's mad at his brother, he's mad at God, and he's just kind of like holding this bitterness. And this is what God says to him. He said, hey, if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at your door, eager to control you. Saying sin is this little thing right now, but it's coming for you. And sin, for most of you guys heard this analogy, sin's like this little thing, right? Like for those dog lovers, like sin would be compared to like a puppy. I just offended some people. So sin would be like this little cute puppy when you see it, when you hold it, just little and it does nothing. It's not going to hurt you, whatever it is. And then it grows up and it's like this big vicious dog that's always barking and chasing people. No? No? Okay, that's kind of like what God is saying is like sin is crouching at Cain's door and it's just there. But he doesn't see it until the very end. You know what happens? Is he gets so bitter that he actually kills his brother. Like sin just overtakes him and he out of this, without dealing with it, he kills his brother. But this is what I want to talk about is there's this thing also called generational sin, right? It gets passed down. Like just like, for example, my family, in our family, there's a lot of people that struggle with alcohol. They just got drunk and they were alcoholic. And so for us, we made the decision at a very young age that we're not going to even drink alcohol, get in touch with it, just because we knew what it did to our families. Because you get so aware that some things in your families just get passed down, you know? Whether it's generational sin or whatever the case is, it just gets passed down. And so, same thing with Cain. This bitterness and this murdering spirit got passed down to his kids and his kids and his great kids. Like one of them, his fourth generation, his name is Lamech. I don't know how to pronounce that. Mark, you good? Does that make sense? Lamech? I love Mark, just... You're doing great. So this is what he does. One of Cain's great-great-great-grandson gets in a fight with this guy and out of bitterness towards him, kills this man and then kills his son. Like that's how much anger he's filled with it. But this is the verse that I want to focus on. It's verse 24. It says this, if someone who kills Cain is punished seven times, then the one who kills me is punished 70 times 7. So what he's trying to say is Cain's revenge was 7 times. Mine is going to be 70 times 7. And so when Jesus is saying this, he's quoting a phrase that is constantly used by a lot of these people where it's like 70 times 7. And when he says this, what he's trying to tell us is that the amount that people took, the extra length that everyone took to offend you is how much I want you to go to forgive them. Like the way they went to spread those rumors about you and lie about you and steal from you and cheat from you, that's the length that I want you to go to forgive them in your hearts. And it's crazy for him to say something like this because a lot of us, like, you're asking for a lot. You want me to what? 70 times 7. And so he goes on to his parable and he starts sharing this. Also, how much, like, when do I finish? How much time, when is it? I just want to make sure. An hour? You guys are like, you said 2 hours. All right. We're going to do snacks later. Don't worry. Chase, I know you're nervous. We got you. I got the apple slices. Okay, so verse 23, this is what it says. So there's a kingdom of heaven. So it's like, so therefore the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decides to bring his accounts to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. And in the process, one of his debtors was brought to him who owed him millions of dollars. Okay, I just want to share this thought. A preacher that I listened to shared this and I thought it blew my mind. So Jesus starts the story with saying there's a king and there's a servant, okay? So there's a king and there's a servant. This is huge for us to know because a lot of us need to understand that we're not the king in this story. I know, right? It's like, what? We're not the kings in the story. We're the servant. And this is good for us to know because in our life, I think some of us, we forget that we're not God. And I think because God is so gracious and loving, and I feel like because a lot of us, because of like this whole seeker movement, like we've kind of like preach the gospel to people, and instead of like making God look so high, a lot of us have kind of brought the gospel down to people and just made them feel like, oh, God is like your buddy, God is like your best friend, he's like your, you know, like your boo-boo or whatever the case is. Like, that's who God is. Like, you can come to anything. Like, I remember this one time going over to my friend's house. In my family, we never called our parents by their first name. Like, you just you want to get beat, like, you just and so we're like sitting there, and one of my friends, he literally called his mom by her first name, and I remember being like, I was trying to flinch because I was like, we're both getting beat for this. It's like, dude, what? It's just my mom. I'm like, what? You could do that? Like, it's just different cultures. But in my culture, like, you couldn't call your parents by your first name. And like, to the point where like some of us didn't even know our parents' name. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. The point is, some of us, we've kind of forgotten this. And we treat God like we're on the same level. And this is good for us to know because you need to understand that you're not God's business partner. Okay, you're not invited to the board meeting. You're not the one that's making decisions with him, because that is going to really make a huge shift when you have to forgive someone. Because when God says to forgive, he says, hey, your job is to forgive. My job is to do the punishment. And if you see yourself level with God, you're going to have a hard time with that. You're going to have a really hard time with that. I remember Jordan, Austin, and I, we started this leadership thing for our students, student leaders. And Jordan was sitting in one of the meetings with like the group, and she asked him, she's like, hey, like, what do you guys want out of this, right? And one of the student leaders like, I want to be treated like one of the leaders. She's like, I want the students to respect me, and I want this and this. It's like, dude, no, you don't get the same perks as the youth leader. You're just a student leader. You know what I mean? Like, and that needs to be engraved in our minds and hearts, is because a lot of us, that's what we want, is right? It's like, we want God to respect us and treat us the same way. So when someone offends us, we want God, hey, no, you got big things. There's stuff happening. I'll take care of this one. It's like, no. God's like, you forgive, I do the punishment. And that's hard unless we actually understand where we stand, unless we understand where we stand with God, okay? So he's the king, we're the servant in this one, okay? We're not his buddies, we're not his co-workers in this one, okay? So God and there's us. And this is what he says. It's like, this person owed him millions of dollars. So when Jesus uses this phrase, millions of dollars, what he's trying to say is like, it's such a big price. It's too much to pay back. It's way too much to pay back. And so it's in millions of dollars. And that can be referenced to us. Like a lot of us, that's us, man. Like we've sinned constantly against God. Every single day we're falling short. Every single day. The story in the Bible of Hosea and Gomer, like the prophet who goes and marries the prostitute and the prostitute cheats on him and he goes back and gets her again. Like that's us. We're constantly cheating on God. We're constantly like forgetting who God is and walking away from us. And he's saying like the price that you owe is too big. And so some of us, our response is what happens in verse 26. He goes this, the man fell down and begged his master, please be patient with me and I'll pay it back. I'll pay it back. What does that mean? Like, God, if you heal me, if you forgive me, if you do this, then I'll go to church every single Sunday. Then I'll give, then I'll volunteer, then I'll read my Bible. It's we're trying to do religion. We're trying to pay him back. You can't. It's too much. It's too big. Instead, what we need to do is what David did in Psalms 51. David in Psalms 51 says, does this. This is really, really profound. We need to be people who are quick to repent. We need to be people that just beg and just fall on our knees and just ask him. Like, this is what happens. If you know the story of David, he's like that shepherd boy. He goes and sins and like sees this lady named Bathsheba, takes her, and then gets her pregnant and then realizes she's pregnant, so calls her husband back from war so that husband can come and sleep with them so it can make it seem like they did it. But then the husband, out of honor, is like, I'm not going to go sleep in my room when my men are out in battle. So he's just going to stay out in gates. So David, out of this, kills that man, okay? So it gets really messy. And David commits this big sin. What does he do? The first thing he does is Psalm 51. He runs back to God. After hearing from his prophet Nathan, he runs back to God and it says this, have mercy on me, Lord. By the way, if you don't know Psalms 51, if you haven't put that on your regular, I want to encourage you to. This is a passage that will help us be people of repentance. People who can run after God and just beg, God, I'm sorry. And this is what he says. Have mercy on me, Lord. Because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sin. Some of us, our sins have just caused so many stains and we have habits and addictions. It's just out of our sins and we're asking God to take that out. Wash me clean from my guilt. How many of us are guilty in this room and we just sit there with shame and guilt? David's crying out. He says, purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. That whole idea of like, no, God, like this is what I've done. I'm coming clean. Forgiveness, asking God to forgive. Whenever we fall short, we run back to him and say, please forgive me. And instead of begging, be like, God, if you help me, then I'll do this. If you forgive me, I'll do this. We got to be people who are just quick to repent like David. We just run back and like, this is what I've done. Jesus ends the story in a very interesting way. And he says that this guy, the king looks at him out of pityness and he forgives him. And he releases him. But then, as soon as he leaves, what does he do? He runs out and sees someone that owes him money. So this guy's owed millions of dollars. He just got forgiven for that. Someone that owes him thousands of dollars, he grabs him. He's like, listen here, you sucker. I don't know if that's a right word to use in church. It sounds like that's what it is. Is that a bad word? Listen here. Pay me back. And this guy's like crying. He's like, please, like, give me time. Let's make a payment plan or something. He's like, no, pay me back. I'm not going to. And you know what he does? It goes even farther. He's like, until you pay me back, I'm going to punish you. Like, it gets even worse. And I think that this is, again, going back to this, like, one of the preachers I listened to shared this point. And he said, like, a lot of times we think we're the servant that is, like, being, like, you know, not forgiven. It's like, no, we're the servant that just got forgiven by God all these things that we've done. And we go to people that have offended us for thousands of dollars and we look at them like, no, you need to pay me back. And that's us. And we need to come to the point where we realize that. For me, this moment came when I was sharing a car with my sister. My sister Laura was so gracious. I needed a car and I couldn't afford it by myself. So I'm like, Laura, if we partner together, we could share a car. So we decided to buy a car and we shared it. And most of the time, I drove that car like 90%, okay? Laura barely drove it. But this caused tension between Laura and I. Like, we fought often. We constantly fought. We fought so much to the point where this was one day where I asked her, hey, can I take the car out to hang out with my friends? And she was like, I actually needed to go to work. I'm like, Laura, just get one of the people in the house to drive you. Like, I'm hanging out with my friends. I want to drive them. I want to, like, look cool. Like, you just got to go to work. Like, just get there. And she's like, no, Peter, I'm driving the car. And so she takes the car. And out of anger towards her, I take the spare key. I take the bus. I drive to her work. I take the car. I did. I know. Connie, I'm sorry. I steal the car. I take it away. On my way to hang out with my friends. This is actually crazy. A cop pulls me over. I didn't have my license on me. And they're like, and just through like a conversation, you know, when you try to be nice, like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, whatever. Oh, you're a soccer fan. No way. No. Some cops are nice. So he looked at me and he gave me grace and he let me go. But then later that night, I get a phone call from Laura. And she's like crying. She's like, Peter, I'm so sorry. You have to forgive me. I think I forgot to lock the car and someone stole it. It's gone. It's not in the parking lot anymore. I don't know what I did. Like, please forgive me. Let's figure it out. Who do we call? Should we call the cops? Do we call dad first? What do we do? And I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, that's me. I'm this servant that doesn't have grace. Like, God's forgiven me. Help me with a sister who's so gracious to partner with me to get a car. God gives me mercy with this cop. I could have got a big ticket. And then yet, I'm still like here condemning my sister. I'm not even showing mercy to her. And a lot of us, we have to have moments like that where we're like, where am I in this position? Like, who am I holding a grudge towards that I should be forgiving? Like, that is the question that Jesus is using us in this parable. And he even ends with like, okay, like, it's so hard, Peter. Like, it's so hard to forgive people because you don't know what like they've done to me. You don't know what they've said to me. And forgiving them 490 times. Again, like one of this, I was listening to this one speaker and he quoted C.S. Lewis and he said this. He said, when it comes to forgiving someone 490 times, we could think that's so hard. But then until we realize that we do that every day, we forgive ourselves that many times. Like, I've been married not very long, but there's so many times where Megan and I are in an argument and I forgive myself for the things that I've done and said, and use the things that she has done and use it against her. Like, that's us. We get blind to our situation, the things that we've done, and we forgive ourselves, but we don't extend that same grace to other people. And it's like, why is it so hard to forgive? It's like, well, you already do it. It's just now you gotta do it for them. And that's the invitation that Jesus is giving us. Johnny, if you're in the room, if you wanna come back and just play softly as I try to end off our time here. You know what was really hard for me at the end of this was verse 34 and 35. This is how Jesus ends the story. It said, then the angry king sent the man to prison. That's Jesus. That's what God is saying. Like, God is so angry when we choose not to forgive others or extend the same grace to other people when he's extended so much for us. He's angry, sends him to prison to be tortured. And some commentators will say that this tortured, it's what he's talking about is like the spirit of unforgiveness. And some of you guys know it. It's so heavy for you guys to carry. And it's a burden that it tortures you. That's the prison that you're stuck in, where it's like you're in a room, but that person controls how you feel. Every time their name gets brought up, you think of them. Every time they achieve something, you're mad. Every time they walk in the room, you're not happy. Like, that is the prison that Jesus is talking about. You're being tortured until you pay back your entire debt. And he finishes with this and he says, that's what my heavenly Father would do to you if you refuse to forgive your brother and sister from your heart. Dang. God ties us forgiving other people to us fully receiving it. He says, I've forgiven you, so therefore, go forgive others. And he's saying, if you don't forgive them, that's why in Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer, when he's saying, like, forgive our sins as we forgive others, like, he's putting this together. It's like, no, forgiveness is not one of those things where you receive and you keep to yourself. You extend it to other people. You give it to other people and you help other people, because that's what it is. It's like, I know they've wronged you. I know they've cheated on you. I know they've spread rumors about you, but we are called to actually extend the same thing too. And some of you guys, you probably have a person or a group of people in mind or a situation as I'm speaking about this topic of forgiveness. And you have your 10 reasons of why this passage doesn't line up with that person. Verse 34 ends this. Like, I just want to clarify this. It's from your heart, okay? We can't let them control us. Forgiveness is for us. You know that famous quote that's on Instagram and TikTok? It's like when you hold unforgiveness, what you're doing is you're drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Like he's saying this is destroying your soul. Like you just holding on to this bitterness and this forgiveness, it's actually like making your soul lose and suffer. You're actually the one that's losing, not them. Chances are they probably don't even know, which sucks. Which sucks, because some people have hurt us and have done things and they don't even know how many times they've hurt us. Especially for some of you guys, man. Like some of you guys have been married way longer than I could even count. Well, I can count that high. I just... Like we saw you read, Peter. I don't believe that. Okay. All right. I forgive you. But here's the thing is, in your marriage, in your families, are you choosing to be a person that forgives? Are you choosing to actually like... And how do you forgive someone? It's not going to take much for us to realize that forgiveness comes with a cost. And some of us, we're trying to pay that. We're trying to pay back. And I want to remind you this morning, God's the one that's going to take care of the punishment. Give it to him. Put it on his tab. You do your part. And this is how he took care of it, as he sent his son. And think about it. Think about this scenario. Matthew 26, Jesus is literally hanging on a cross. Blood is gushing from his eyes. He can't even see the people that are like hating on him, and they're beating him and criticizing him and like saying all these things. And like, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you come down from there? He's literally like, the people have been abandoning him. His own close friends have betrayed him. And what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This morning, we're going to take communion to end this time off. And growing up, I was always scared of communion. Because like, if you read the passage and if you don't really understand it, it's like, it kind of makes it seem like communion's this thing where it's like only holy people get to have communion and the rest of us don't. You know what I mean? But if you really look around the room, like if I was like, who here has been righteous in front of God this week? I don't think anyone can even put their hand up. Which is crazy. So then why do we look at communion like it's this thing that's like, oh, it's only for the holy ones? Like, no, Jesus made this for us. The Bible talks about constantly how Jesus constantly ate with sinners. He was a big table guy. He was a big meal guy. He ate with sinners. And in that culture, this was a mess, because what they saw was all these unclean people can't be hanging out with clean people, because then the unclean people are going to make the clean people dirty. But Jesus completely reverses that. Because he is clean, and unclean people come eat with him and they leave clean. And so what he does is he invites us to the table of communion. And he's saying, look, I know you think, Jesus, I'm gonna go fix my life. I'm gonna go learn how to forgive. I'm gonna go do this, and then I'm gonna come to you. And he's saying, stop. You don't go fix your life and then come to God. You come to God with your brokenness and he fixes you. And so what God is inviting us into is this thing where he already paid the price. And communion is us remembering, reflecting on that, receiving the gift. Like when someone gives you a gift, you don't just kind of keep it there. You receive it, you use it. And God is giving us this gift. When we do this, we remember him. We remember the price that he paid on the cross so we could be set free. We remember the forgiveness that he gave us, the millions of dollars that he constantly forgives us. He paid this price. Didn't come free. I'm like learning this right now. When I was a kid living in my parents' house, I turned the lights on everywhere I went. The waters was always on. I'm taking 40-minute showers. Now you live by yourself and you know everything costs something. It's the same thing with sin. Sin costs God something. But he paid it freely and he invited us. So we're gonna invite you guys in a second to take communion as a way to actually receive God's forgiveness and reflect on what he's done for us. And in that moment, I want you to reflect even on the people that you are having a hard time forgiving. And that freely he's given to you, so freely you can give. I'm not saying that we all have to be people here that are just quick to forgive, but we just have to go to him. He's the source, he's the strength. And ask him, look, I'm having a hard time forgiving this person. You know what they did, you know what they said. Please help me. Some of you guys, it's the church. It's the church. The church has hurt you. The leaders have hurt you. They haven't lived up to the level of expectation that you wanted. And you thought, if you guys are going to be my leaders, if you guys are going to be my pastors, like how come you didn't? Why did you say this? Why did you do this? Or it's your family. The closest people to you have hurt you. And it's like, how do you forgive them when you have to live with them every day? Or some of us, we're just distant from them. But what happens is when we don't actually receive and bring something to God, we turn into Mary and Martha, for example, where Martha, out of like frustration, because Mary's not helping her, she runs to Jesus and says, Jesus, can you tell Mary? Like, it's frustration. It comes out. You think you're handling forgiveness, but you're not. Or for some of us, it's like Moses, where like God says like, hey, Moses, speak to the rock and the water is going to come out. Out of bitterness, all these Israelites are like the weight on the shoulders. They're constantly complaining. He hits the rock. And our leadership, that's us, our families. Like, we need to learn how to forgive before it comes out later. And so my invitation to you is to, one, take communion and reflect on what Jesus has done for you. And then two, I want to invite you to reflect on the people that have hurt you. What does it look like to forgive them? How do we give this to God? And I intentionally chose, I asked Pastor Nick if it's okay for the band to stay seated in this moment, because we think communion just happens at church. So I kind of want to make this kind of like a living room experience. You turn on YouTube and Jonathan's there playing piano. And you get communion, and it's between you and God. So I want to invite you, if you're sitting in the balcony, there's a table in the back on this side. You can grab them from there. If you're up here, there's two over here. Just grab communion, and I'll come back in a second and lead us in that time. But let's just take the next couple minutes and reflect on this. Corinthians chapter 12, or chapter 11, sorry, verse 23 says this: For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night that He was betrayed, Jesus is not some kind of ruler or high priest that is so far away that doesn't understand what we're going through. He experienced what we're going through. He was betrayed. And this is what He says. On the night that He was betrayed, the Lord took some bread. He gave thanks. And then He broke it in pieces and said, Take this. This is my body which I've given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. I want to invite you to take the bread with me. Verse 25, He goes on and says, In the same way He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Let's drink from the cup. The word for communion is Eucharist, which means to give thanks. So in this moment, with your eyes closed, God, we just want to give You thanks. Thank You for putting Your body on the line, for shedding Your blood, that all of us in this room who owe You millions and millions of dollars can be forgiven. Thank You for paying my sins. Thank You for paying the price of everyone else's sins here, God. God, I just want to pray for anyone in this room that is struggling to be forgiven. They're struggling to experience Your forgiveness. Would You help us today to receive that? We thank You for what You did for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. There's three things I want to pray for as we respond. and you don't have to remember them in any particular order. Whichever one reflects or connects with you, you can pray over that. The first one is, we've been kind of doing this, like this. There's a lot of prayer movements that started in our church. There's prayer groups that are meeting everywhere. And it's awesome. It's nothing on the, like, it's not like leadership led. It's just like people, God is just putting their heart and they're leading all these prayer stuff. And it's really cool. And in those prayer meetings, God has been speaking to our church. It started with the Jonah series. And if you haven't watched that, I really recommend that you go watch that on our YouTube. And it's really cool because I remember talking to Pastor Dave a long time ago as he's planning the Jonah series. And if you guys don't get to see the behind the scenes, but Dave is just so like ahead of the game. He's always organizing everything. But seeing how in tune he was with the Holy Spirit to plan a series like that was so incredible. And that series touched on something that God is doing in this church. It's this thing of repentance. God wants us to be people that are quick to repent. And so the first word that I have, what I felt like it was, I got this image when we were in prayer like two Fridays ago, was that there was someone in here where, picture an apartment and you have old furniture in that apartment and you're trying to get new furniture in, but you're not willing to let go of the old furniture. And the old furniture is kind of molding and starting to stink and bring air that's causing unhealth to your body. And Jesus is asking you to give him permission to take that stuff out. And some of us have this furniture in place because these are our crutches when we're going through what they did to us, how our parents weren't there for us, how our teachers didn't notice us, how our pastors did. We use these things as crutches and they're holding us. And Jesus is saying that he wants you to give him permission to take those things out so he can give you new things. So that's the first group. If you're in this room and that resonates with you, like that's something I want you to be praying for as we respond to this, is that you have to give him permission to help you do that. He's not asking you to do it by yourself, but he wants you to invite him in to pull that out. In a similar way, the image that I got was like a long time ago, I did landscaping and we before we laid sod, you have to level the ground before you can lay the sod. And I felt like, and it reminded me of this image because what we did is we had to kind of like pull out the weeds or like rake it, and it's a lot of work. And some of you guys feel like it's a lot of work and you're constantly just trying to put the sod already, and God's like, I need to pull these things out, because if I don't, it's just going to stay there and it's just not going to be level. It's just going to come out later. And God wants to take those things out. He really wants to take those things out of your life. And I'm not just speaking to someone who you've experienced this 2 weeks ago. Some of you guys have been 30, 40 plus years. And he wants, and the harder the ground, the harder he has to get there and pull. But he wants to do that with you. And the second image I got that I wanted to share with you guys is, I think I want to, before I say this, I just want to honor all our seniors in this church. I know a lot of times I can't even imagine how hard it'll be to be you in a day like this where church is all about cool lights, flashy music, loud sounds, and you guys are just trying to worship God and you're like, where do I go? How do I? And some of you guys probably feel so hurt by the way the church is being ran. I'm not talking about this church, but I'm talking about like the Capital Church. Like I'm talking about how churches just like look down on you and forgiven you. And like some of you guys are going through loneliness and you feel like you can't find the same community you used to find in the church. And you've started to hold bitterness towards the church and you've started to look at leaders that are leading the church and you're just kind of like, they're just not meeting those needs. I think God, as we were praying on Friday, me, Ben, Sean, and my brother David were praying. That was something that constantly came up, but we wanted to pray for you guys in repentance as we ask for forgiveness for not respecting you guys. But there's also hurt that's going on that only God can heal. And I know that some of you guys feel like, I'm not going to forgive that person until they ask for forgiveness, but that's not true. Don't wait for their forgiveness before you give it to them. Don't wait for them to ask for forgiveness before you give it to them. Because what God wants to do through you, and specifically through the church, God is a respecter of authority. And I'm sorry I'm going over time, but this is really important for our church. God is a respecter of authority. And so a lot of you guys, God wants you to still lead in this church. And we think leading like being on stage preaching or being a senior pastor. No, there's different ways of leading. And it's just because there's still hurt inside of you. And God wants to heal that. There's people that are going to start coming through these doors who are so far from God, who are new. And it's going to be you guys leading us. I know a lot of us are younger and around and we're on Instagram or on this and we think we're leading. No, we're actually being led by you guys. And so this is me coming to ask for forgiveness, but also to invite you guys. We need to be people. Who's going to receive God? It's those with pure hearts. It's pure hearts, and He wants to heal that. And if you're a young adult in this room, or if you're under the age of 40, and this does not make sense to you, like, we need to repent how we've seen the church, how we've treated other people. That was really heavy on my heart. And then obviously, last but not least, if you're in this room and there's someone in your heart that you're just struggling to forgive, or you're struggling to receive forgiveness, the thing about forgiveness is this: until you understand that you need to learn how to forgive, you're not gonna actually receive forgiveness for yourself. So God will forgive you, but until you learn how to forgive other people, you're not gonna actually know that He's forgiven you too. And so that's something that you need to wrestle with in prayer. And so I'm gonna stop talking, and I'm gonna let God do what He does best. So can I invite you to stand up, please? The team's gonna lead us in the song, Build My Life. And in your own way, can I ask the prayer team to come up, please? In your own way, if you want prayer for someone at the front, I wanna invite you, don't wait. Come receive the prayer. If you wanna just come to the front and pray, do that. If you wanna ask someone beside you to pray for you, do that. But there's work that God is doing, and we wanna be trees that bear fruit. Right? We don't want to just have the leaves. You don't want to look good on the outside and wrestle on the inside. So we're going to pray, and I'll come back and close. But let me just open up in prayer. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come in this place. You see us. Can I invite you to put your hands up? What is it that you want to do in our hearts? What is it that you want to do today, God? So we just give you this next moment. You're the healers of all healers. There's deep-rooted stuff in our hearts that you need to take care of. And right now, we just invite you. And I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who are struggling to invite you to that process to forgive. I just pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength to do what we can't do. So have your way in these next moments as we worship you and invite you. In Jesus' name.